What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 14th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. A few quick things. One, if you missed the David Cone interview I had yesterday on The Craft, it was live on YouTube. It should be up on the podcast today. Give it a listen. It was such an honor to be able to do it. It was a great time, just an hour of the two of us just talking shop for ages. It's so much fun, and I'm still touched that David Cone came on and to chat about baseball with me. Also, our live draft assistant web app is launching very shortly. We're just like right at the finish line of it, and we want to make sure this is good to go for your drafts this weekend. And in addition, I am live streaming right now as I do this podcast, but I'm going to continue as I do my draft guide. I want to make sure that is out today for your drafts this weekend. So jump in this afternoon. If you're waiting for it, just watch me live on the site as I do it. Go to playback.tv/pitcherlist. Come on in, have a good time, and good luck in your drafts. All right, we are going to talk about yesterday's news. There's a lot of it. Brandon Woodruff will be pitching on Sunday with no data, but at least it's against the Guardians and we can watch it. We have Lance Lynn possibly being signed by the Cubs. They're starting to talk about a contract, which generally means, yeah, they're going to do that, which means he'd likely be the number five instead of Jordan Wicks, Colin Wright, and Ben Brown. It makes sense because there really isn't a ton of depth for the Cubs, and I don't feel that Wicks, Colin Wright, or Brown are really at that place that you're displacing something massive and really good. So that makes sense in my view. Cody Bradford officially hit the IL, which means that Jack Leiter or Adrian Hauser or Kumar Rocker have that SP5 spot. If not, also an SP4 opened by Tyler Mahle, where we're still kind of in the, I don't know what's going on. Are you okay? Are you not? And I would say Jack Leiter is the favorite, or at least the one that you should care about, as he has the most upside here. And if it does work out for him, he could be a very big fantasy asset throughout the season. However, Adrian Hauser might get that job. So at the very least, with Jack Leiter, you get the positive of knowing quickly if he's worth that roster spot or not. If it's not, you just move on. So don't spend more than, 18th round. No, really, you should be spending like a 21st or so round pick on Jack Leiter at this point, maybe 20th. The Rangers are taking it slow with Jacob deGrom. He pitched in the backfield yesterday, and I also heard whispers that he might not even show up again this spring, and that's fine. Just take it slow with him. Be easy in April. I'm all for that. That's cool. And then they're just going to let him go. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season. Bailey Falter was scratched from his Thursday game after recovering slower than usual prior to his Thursday start. He was playing catch on Wednesday, and it just didn't feel right, which generally is not something that just goes away, let's be honest. So that means the Pirates need an SP5. Who would that be? Well, it could be Braxton Ashcraft or Mike Burrows, who are on the 40-man, and Bubba Chandler is not. So he got the non-roster invite, but was sent back to AAA and is not on the 40-man. So keep that in mind. I want it to be Chandler, but Burrows and Ashcraft have seen more time also this spring, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Pirates are slow on Chandler and they don't call him up until May or June to make sure at least the extra year of arbitration or the Super 2, whatever it is, and Burrows and Ashcraft get that early opportunity. Lucas Giolito has been confirmed to be on the IL, which I think is correct. It's kind of what we assumed. 2 to 3 weeks is likely what we see. And that is kind of a blessing. I know this is going to sound really weird, but the way I do my drafts in 12-teamers is I generally have one or two guys on the IL out of the gate. It doesn't mean that I have these IL guys throughout the entire season. Most of the cases, if I have them, I need to recognize if it's a 3 or 4 month guy that I'm going to drop that guy if I need an IL spot later, right? I'm not going to use them as a prospect stash. But to have someone like Giolito just for a few weeks, that is perfect. Because when they come back, you have already stashed away an upside play without the cost of a roster spot. You get an extra one right now to mess around with those couple weeks. So you make that last round pick of Giolito, stash him away, just like Brandon Woodruff in this way, and then you get them on the IL, and then you can go get another one, and that's so nice. You can have the whole Ted Lasso two aces thing out of nowhere, right? So I'm really interested on that. I'm seeing in the chat now, Kombucha is asking, why are we so high on Giolito? Well, it's because that Giolito in those previous 2 years before he got hurt was really not himself. And especially in that last season, he was moved around a lot. And I do think the Red Sox are a fantastic organization for him. Before he got hurt last year, he was upping his velocity. He was looking great in camp. And then, of course, he got hurt. I'm thinking that this is a really good opportunity for him to show off and just a refined approach that is like his classic self once again, now that he's fully healthy as well. So I think this is such a good upside play. and really do not think of Giolito as a 2022-2023 version. And also, if it is, fine. We just move on. If we don't see anything exciting out of this, we move on. It's a last round thing. So I think it's a very good, there's a better probability for something massive here than a lot of the other options out there. Ever Cabrera as well. He's going to be on the IL to start the season in all likelihood as he developed a blister. Unfortunately, there's no fun options to replace it. Xavier Curry or Adam Mazur, neither one should you be going after. And for the Red Sox, by the way, Richard Fitz, Quinn Priester have been in the conversation to be there anyway, because you have Cutter Crawford and Brian Baio already delayed. There's one spot there. But now with Giolito, you're going to see two of them, except Cooper Criswell has entered the game. And it makes all the sense in the world because Cooper Criswell has a resume of starts with the Red Sox. He pitched well in that game on Tuesday. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has one of those spots and Fitz or Priester is the other one. Keep in mind, these delays are temporary for the Red Sox. So if they believe more in Fitz long-term and they don't believe in Priester, they might actually be more inclined to go with Priester for a couple games and then pull him down, because I would hope that they would have Fitz up and then keep him there when they do. So that's why Criswell, who they've bounced around a lot with relief and with starting, makes a lot of sense there. All right. Other games from yesterday. Well, really the games from yesterday. Christopher Sanchez, 4 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks, 1 walk, 3 hits. The thing about Sanchez is for him to actually break out this year, and really in the way that we want, because he had a 123 whip last season and his strikeout rate hovering 20%, is that we need him to lower the hit per nine. And it was at 9 last year, and regression can just say it's down to 8 and everything is good and fine. I was hoping to see more this game here. We saw 97 miles per hour in his previous start and around 96 and change in the other one. 95.7, which is fine. I'll take that. If it's on the lower end, I don't know, because that's only about a tick up from the 94.5 we saw last year. And there is a big difference between 95.7 and 97, right? So I would be okay with the 95.7. I'd still be encouraged a lot if I saw the cutter, and I don't. I'm really actually sad about this because it's the perfect thing for Sanchez. You need to keep right-handers off the sinker as much as possible. Now, throwing harder will help. It'll make that changeup even better. And yes, that changeup was, of course, amazing against right-handers yesterday, sure. But without that, I'm kind of wondering if I'm too high on Sanchez. And I know I put out my update on Wednesday. This one is making me start to think maybe I'm too high on this. I probably am going to put him underneath Senga and Carlos Rodon in my last update in about 10 days. That will be the Monday. I might do it next week as well, right before draft weekend. There's a part of me that wants to do that instead, but we'll see. We'll see how I do this. I might. long story short, Christopher Sanchez, I'm not quite as high on. I still like him, but it's not the, oh my gosh, he's going to have that absurd season kind of breakout potential that I was hoping for. Cade Povich, I'm not interested in. 4.2 innings of 5 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. It's not really the line, of course. It's because we got data finally. And the thing that we were excited about with Povich was the changeup, which went 1 out of 7 whiffs and wasn't very well spotted against right-handers, favoring sweepers instead that got hit. And the four-seamer is not a good four-seamer. He just doesn't have enough in that tank. We'll see those random starts of him having success when he places everything. And yeah, it is a winning ball club for the Orioles, but it's not even a guarantee that it is Povich, because it could be Albert Suarez. And it's just not the kind of play that I want to invest in, where if he does get it, do I even really want it anyway? Chase DeLander, 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. I've actually been a bit foolish here because for whatever reason in my head, I thought that DeLander had not pitched in the minors. I know he has, but I think I just combined it with like Chase Burns. And who was the other one that I can't remember. But long story short, Chase DeLander is the contender for the number 5 with Bradley Blaylock at the moment, and maybe even Jake Woodford, which makes the most sense considering that DeLander and Blaylock have not had any MLB time yet, and Woodford does, and they would also lose that depth if they don't go with Woodford. And it's the Rockies, they don't care, right? So maybe DeLander does make that number 5 spot. I don't want it. I think it's empty velocity. It's not well-spotted velocity. It is a good attack angle, 1.5 and 97. If he can locate that top of the zone, that works even with bad vert, even with bad extension, right? But it's not. It's 2 out of 19 whiffs. He's just like, here, go and hit it. and he doesn't have the secondaries to back it up. A 53% strike rate across his 19 secondaries, 2 out of 19 whiffs, right across those. That's not enough for me if he was outside of Colorado quite. I mean, I'd be like intrigued and I'd be like, oh, I'll take a spec ad maybe on that. But inside Colorado, oh man, I do not expect that Dolander is going to develop if he is the SP5 throughout the year with those conditions. It just doesn't add up to me. And yeah, I can understand also, hey, this guy's fighting for a spot and he's not polished yet because he has all this adrenaline. His location's going to be better. Maybe. But I don't, that's another element. I don't know. Luis L. Ortiz, he's all over the place. Okay, 3.2 innings of 4 runs and 3 walks, and I do not want to go for that. Bailey Ober is also someone that I've been lower on, and I might actually do a dramatic drop on him and be like, you know what, you know, you're right. SP, he had him as SP 55 or something like that. And I dropped him down to 26 in my rankings. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. But the thing is, this was another start of a 90.3 mile per hour fastball, so he's down 1.4 ticks. I think that was lower than the previous one. But really, the important thing is I used to call him Bailey Oberizzi. And the reason for that was his four-seamer would go upstairs constantly. It would paint the top of the zone red. I have yet to see a single spring start where he did that. And it was worse last year. He failed to do that throughout the season last year. Now, I understand he still had an amazing season, say, for 2 games, and we've really leaned into that point, and it's true. It's still just, it scares me a little. So I have him at 26 right now. I might move him to like 30. In other words, I'm just not going to draft Bailey Ober. There are just too many guys. Like, I'm going to get Robbie Ray every time I would go for Bailey Ober, and that's just not going to happen. Go for Justin Steele. I would go for Jared Jones. I'm going to tell you about him and Jackson Jobe after this break. Jared Jones went 4.1 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He isn't looking like his April May self. That's like the ceiling that we are just like, oh my gosh, all those whiffs. 20 plus whiffs every start, right? And it's interesting to see him sit 94 and change on the new sinker. That's like kind of low for Jones, right? It was also 95.8, not even sitting 96 in full on the four-seamer. But I do think that Savant was characterizing some of the four-seamers as sinkers. And there's your answer. And also the sinker might be more of that kind of trying to be the splinker thing, maybe? I don't know. I'm kind of curious what Jones is doing with that to also get a different velocity on it. So that's weird. I am still jazzed that he has this sinker and changeup focus going. I love his attack to left-handers with his four-seamer. But the main thing to me is, look, you gotta... What's the hot dog? This is something that we worked with a mobile firm for a bit, and I really like this approach where you sit down, you're like, you're designing an app or a product of some kind, and Nathan's Hot Dogs, they have all these things. They've got chicken fingers, they got fries, they got whatever, but the one thing that you expect them to do well is sell a good hot dog, right? It's got to be a delicious hot dog. If it's not a good hot dog, then like Nathan's Hot Dogs doesn't do well. You don't go to Nathan's for all the other things, you go there for the hot dog. So what's the hot dog, right? And what's the hot dog for Jared Jones? It's four-seamers and sliders. And if those aren't going well, then we have a problem. And to see a 54% strike rate on that slider is like, well, okay, Jared Jones, you gotta, can you please do that? Okay, cool, thanks. Jackson Jobe, 3.2 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. It was a cool one because I think Jackson Jobe is taking every spring start and going, all right, what do I need to focus on this time? What do I need to learn? I'm trying to learn everything in like 2 weeks. Like, what can I do? So this was 34% usage of his cutter and 40% on right-handers, which is, whoa, he threw more cutters than four-seamers. That's awesome. And yeah, they were some in the middle of the zone, but he had an 82% strike rate on them. This is like a 90 mile per hour cutter that we've said is a stupid good. And yeah, he's not getting the whiffs yet. And you're like, why? Why isn't this guy getting whiffs? Well, there's a few reasons, I think, for that. One, the four-seamer is not a big extension pitch. It's also not like the most overwhelming pitch metrics on it. It's good. It's just not stupid, okay? But it's good. I also think that he's not utilizing his pitches ideally in at-bats quite yet. Like sequencing and figuring things out and having that execution when he needs to. That is the next step for whiffs. Eno made this great point, and it sticks with me a ton. Stuff versus location, where stuff correlates to weak contact, while location correlates to whiffs. And I know that might surprise you. It's when the combination happens. And the combination for guys with good stuff, they can have good location, thus you'll see those whiffs. But if you have good location and no stuff, it's going to be harder, right? But the location is what creates them. And if you are not locating properly inside of at-bats, well, yeah, you are going to fail to get the whiffs that you feel like this stuff should dictate. Cool. This is what a Pease is, actually. Like, Yordano Ventura, man, rest his soul, but he was someone that was like, man, what the heck? You should be getting all these whiffs. You're doing all this stuff. Yeah, there's a big reason why. Also, his four-seamer moved in a way that was not really conducive to it. Anyway, Jackson Jobe, I think in time, will have that cutter working, four-seamer working, and the curve is a two-plane big boy that, oh my gosh, if he's able to actually get like a 60% strike rate on that thing, whew, I'm so in. I do think still that's going to be Jobe plus Maeda as SP5 out of the gate. That's my guess at the moment, but I don't know. I mean, I'm getting Jobe everywhere. Max Fried, 4 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Everything's normal. He even got some changeup whiffs, 2 out of 8. I'll take that all day. David Peterson, 3.2 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. The extension is there, but the velocity is down 1.2 ticks to 90.6. And I'm a little worried about that, but at the same time, 8 for 33 whiffs on his slider and changeup is cool. And he's also stretched out a nice 70 pitches. So if you're trying to search for quality starts the first week or so, David Peterson actually might be one of the few guys allowed to go the full 90 instead of slowly ramping up like others, right? 90 to 100. So that's actually something you might want to consider there. Sean Newcomb on 3 innings of 0 runs. And come on, that's not going to happen, right? You're not going to do this to me, Red Sox. Cool, thanks. Edward Cabrera, as I mentioned, has a blister. He's on the IL, likely. He had a terrible game, didn't get a single out, and 10 balls on 12 pitches. Ugh. Ronel Blanco, 3.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. It's not a good thing for Blanco. He's a little bit down in his velocity at 1.3 miles per hour to 92. The slider was a little bit more hittable. The changeup wasn't getting all the strikes. Like, all the little signs of degradation are there for Blanco. So, I'm a little afraid at the moment. Maybe it ramps up as we keep going, so monitor this. Nick Lodolo, 4 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. For the most part, it was Lodolo at a lower velocity, 93, not 94 plus. Only 54% strikes and 50% four-seamer and 50% changeup strikes. So not great if it worked out because the curve, which really is a sweeper, was really good to right-handers. But against left-handers, the bad command of it, it's still the same guy. JP Sears, 5.1 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He went upstairs with the four-seamer, 1 out of 30 whiffs, though. And then again, it was Blake Snell blueprint, so the changeup and sweeper got 7 over 29. So there you go. That's 8 over 59 whiffs, and we'll take that all day. I think Sears, if you can hold that four-seamer upstairs, I think that's going to really work. You have Yu Darvish, 4 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. It's the same Darvish, if not throwing a harder sinker at 95. That's up 1.5 ticks. And yeah, he should be a bargain. Steven Kolek is also going to be the number 5. He's 4 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. You don't know him. Sinker slider guy with to right-handers, and then 4-seamer cutter change to left-handers. It's very command focused. It's nothing interesting, really. I think he's an NL only guy, maybe a deep 15 teamer, but I don't think you should go for 12s. Maybe he turns into a Toby at best or a streamer. Spencer Argetti went against Steven Matz, and Argetti looked good. It was all in TV, no data. All Matz is Matz and whatever. And last but not least, you have Shane Baz, 4.1 innings of 4 earned runs, not on TV, not on Statcast. It's a little concerning, but he did hit 100 in the previous game. I'm not going to really react to this one. Robbie Ray was studly, apparently. Won 4.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 0 walks, 8 Ks, guys. Oh my gosh. And go get him everywhere. And DJ Hers, 3 innings of 2 walks and 1 K, and he's probably going to go to AAA. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.